Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Tuesday, April 27th, and this is your FT News Briefing. Western countries are rushing to help India as it battles a coronavirus surge, and the oil major Total is struggling after several attacks by insurgents in southern Africa. Plus, the FT's Patricia Nilsson tells us about OnlyFans, the adult entertainment subscription site that has exploded in popularity during the pandemic.
There is a suspicion the platform is attracting young people who might not previously have considered making money in this type of way. And I think that's a very interesting question.
I'm Mark Filipino, and here's the news you need to start your day. As the pandemic spirals out of control in India and in other countries, wealthier governments are promising to send help. Yesterday, the White House said it would send up to 60 million doses of AstraZeneca's vaccine overseas. The U.S. and some European countries also announced aid to India. On Monday, India reported more than 354,000 new infections and 2,800 deaths. The aid effort here is a notable change. U.S. President Joe Biden has said he wants to focus on his own country's vaccination efforts first, and European countries, consumed by their own supply problems, had blocked vaccine exports. I asked the FT's EU diplomatic correspondent Michael Peel about this shift.
Well, Mark, I think we're now seeing in very concrete, brutal terms, the outcome of something that has loomed over this crisis from the start, and that is the profound inequality in access to treatments and now vaccines for COVID-19. And the scale of the pandemic we now see in India is a reflection of that. And of course, there are serious problems elsewhere, including in Brazil, and no doubt some one fears in other countries to come too. And meanwhile, you have populations in Western countries that, for all the anxiety in Europe about the slow rate of vaccination in the EU compared to the UK and the US, still the EU is blessed in terms of vaccines compared with most of the rest of the world. And I think that that's going to be the big question going forward, is how much are these rich countries actually prepared to share?
So, Michael, there's all this help going on now, but whatever happened to COVAX? That's, you know, the coalition led by the World Health Organization that's aimed at providing vaccines to countries that didn't have the clout to provide for their own populations. Where is COVAX in all of this?
Well, COVAX was set up initially as a mechanism into which the organizers, including the WHO and Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, hoped all countries would be part of and that the whole world would source its vaccine through COVAX. Now, of course, that didn't happen. Rich countries in particular went off and made their own arrangements, but they said they would give money to COVAX, and indeed they have. But the problem, as senior health officials have pointed out, is that effectively the rich countries have been competing with COVAX for vaccines. So when the EU or the US sign up hundreds of millions of doses of a vaccine, those are vaccines that COVAX then can't get access to. In addition, COVAX has had a problem because a lot of its vaccines are made in India, and India, of course, has started to restrict its own vaccine exports because of the severity of the crisis there. So even the limited deliveries that COVAX had planned, in other words, it hasn't been able to fulfill because of that shortage. And now you have Dr. Tedros, the head of the WHO, among others, pressing very hard and saying, look, we're now a year into this pandemic. It really is time that we came up with a proper international mechanism to share vaccines equitably.
Michael Peel is the FT's EU diplomatic correspondent. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mark.
The biggest private investment in Africa has been suspended. The French oil company Total has a $20 billion liquid natural gas project in Mozambique. But after escalating attacks in the region by an Islamic insurgency, the oil company on Monday activated a force majeure clause and put the operation on hold. The company also evacuated staff. Last month, an attack on a nearby town killed dozens of people, including foreign workers. The LNG project would tap into Mozambique's vast offshore gas reserves and could transform the country's economy. But the project's been overshadowed by the insurgency over the past several years, and it's unclear when work will start up again. In the song Savage by Megan Thee Stallion, the megastar Beyoncé makes an appearance and mentions the name of the website OnlyFans. That plug was a huge boon for OnlyFans. So was the pandemic. With so many people at home on the internet, OnlyFans added 100 million users and transactions rose sevenfold to £1.7 billion. The website, by the way, is for celebrities and sex workers to sell subscription content directly to consumers.
It's actually a family business.
That's the FT's Patricia Nilsson. She covers the adult entertainment industry, and she told me more about the company.
The founder, Tim Stokely, who's now the CEO, he went to his father, who's a former Barclays investment banker, and asked him to borrow £10,000 because he had this great idea. And when we spoke to Tim and his father, Guy told us that, you know, he had lent him money for other businesses in the past, and he vowed that this would be the last time he gave him money. So I guess it was lucky for them that OnlyFans ended up becoming such a success.
Yeah. I guess if you first you don't succeed, try again. Patricia, can you give a sense of how big this site is and how fast it's grown?
I mean, they have more than 120 million users today, and that's grown from about 20 million before COVID struck. So that's quite an intense growth rate. And you can see that also in their finances. So they said they're expanding rapidly in Latin America and mainland Europe. The company has also recently launched an on-demand TV channel, which is quite interesting. And so they're producing some longer content for that. And it sounded like the founders were quite excited about it.
So how does OnlyFans compare to other adult websites?
One thing that I think is very interesting is a criticism that OnlyFans faces, which is there is a suspicion that the platform is attracting people, often young people, who might not previously have considered, making money in this type of way. And I think that's a very interesting question. If it is true that you have more young people considering doing various types of sex work, then the question is whether OnlyFans and other similar companies are driving that change, or whether they're simply catering to a trend that already, you know, is part of our society.
Right, because if not OnlyFans, most likely someone else is going to come along and do the same thing.
Yeah, and you hear that, you know, when you talk to people in the more traditional porn industry, one of the things that's happened in the past decade is that pay for performers has gone down quite a bit. And part of that is because you have these, if we're not going to call them monopolies, then they're at least oligopolies. But part of it also seems to be just because there's bigger supply of young people who are willing to enter the industry and record porn. And that's a big driver to why pay has gone down.
Patricia, does OnlyFans have a responsibility to monitor what's on its website?
Yeah, good question. I think regulators could definitely turn around and want to hold them accountable. The question is, you know, do regulators, I mean, how much do they know of these kind of platforms? But also, I mean, if you ask OnlyFans, they will say that they definitely do moderate content on the platform. And, you know, some performers have been complaining about having their accounts frozen or just being kicked out. And when we asked OnlyFans about it, they said that it's most likely due to performers having broken some of their rules, which includes, you know, no weapons, no drugs, there are certain words that are banned, and so on. So there is some moderation on the site.
Patricia Nilsson is the FT's Consumer Industries reporter. Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you.
And before we go, let's crack open one more story. The Japanese brewer Asahi has been gulping up other beer companies in recent years. $20 billion in M&A deals have gone towards buying brands including Peroni and Carlton Draft. Now, Asahi wants to pivot to suds without the buzz. It's seen how companies have focused on wellness products during the pandemic, and sales of non-alcoholic drinks have risen, even with pub and bar closures during the lockdown. Sales in Europe of Asahi's non-alcoholic brew grew 10% in 2020 compared with the previous year. And last month, the company, famous for its super dry brand, launched a new low-alcohol product. It's called Beery. You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.